Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civit Media Radio Network. After a seven-week showdown, Mike Johnson finally has sworn in Congresswoman-elect Alita Grijalva from Arizona. Take a listen to what she said moments after she was sworn in.
What is most concerning is not what this administration has done, but what the majority in this body has failed to do. Hold Trump accountable as a co-equal branch of government that we are.
Damn Skippy.
It has been 50 days since the people of Arizona's 7th Congressional District elected me to represent them. 50 days that over 800,000 Arizonans have been left without access to the basic services that every constituent deserves. This is an abuse of power. One individual should not be able to unilaterally obstruct the swearing in of a duly elected member of Congress for political reasons.
I'll say damn Skippy to that, too. Her comments go on for quite some time. And then moments after being sworn in, she signed on to the Epstein discharge petition. Wow, folks, it has been a wild ride of a day. With her signature on the Epstein Files discharge petition, and more on exactly what that is and how this is all going to work in a moment, that brings the total number of signatories on that discharge petition to 218. 218, despite the fact that the Trump White House has been putting on the blitz, an incredible pressure campaign, specifically targeting Congresswoman Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert to get them to withdraw their support and not sign the discharge petition, going so far as to bringing Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room. Yeah, that Situation Room. You know, where they usually coordinate, like, military incursions and strikes. No. Boebert in the Situation Room, getting the pressure campaign from Donald Trump, Pam Bondi, and Cash Patel. She refused to budge. I don't think I was ever going to say these words before, but good on you, Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace. They tried to reach her repeatedly. Apparently, she was playing a little bit of phone tag with the president. Good on Nancy Mace, too. They both signed the discharge petition. I cannot believe the words coming out of my mouth. And all of this has sparked an absolute firestorm today. Tranches of Epstein emails have been released. It started this morning with a release of a number of emails from the House Oversight Committee. Remember, that committee basically was forced by Democrats to issue these subpoenas for some of these records directly from the Epstein estate. The three emails that sort of touched off the firestorm this morning are emails about Donald Trump written by Jeffrey Epstein. All of these years after he skated by in 2008, barely getting a slap on the wrist. Here are some of the things that were discussed. Epstein says to Ghislaine Maxwell that Trump spent hours in his house, meaning Epstein's house, with Epstein victim Virginia Guifre. I always get her name wrong. That's pretty interesting. Here's Jeffrey Epstein telling Michael Wolff, the author and journalist in 2019, that he was never a member of Mar-a-Lago. Remember Trump's big thing is like, yeah, I decided I didn't want him. I kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. Here's Epstein saying, never asked me to leave the club. I was never a member ever. And saying this quote, of course, he, Trump, knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop, end quote. Maybe this is referring to people getting poached from the Mar-a-Lago spa to come, quote, work for Jeffrey Epstein. Unbelievable. There's also a communication dating from 2015 between Michael Wolff and Jeffrey Epstein about Trump possibly being asked questions in a televised presidential debate from December of 2015, and Epstein asking Michael Wolff if I could tell Trump basically what to say if they ask him about me, what should I tell him, right? Eugh, ouch. By the way, CNN never asked those questions at that December 2015 debate. In response, House Republicans have now begun to release additional emails. And I have to tell you, every next email I find is more and more gross. For example, there is an email between Jeffrey Epstein and some guy named Thorborn Jagland. And he talks, this is Jeffrey emailing this Thorborn guy in 2018 in June, telling him this: hey, Thorborn, you might suggest to Putin that Lavrov can get insight on talking to Trump, on how to talk to Trump by talking to me. Vitaly Churkin did that, but he's died. Jagland writes back, yeah, I meet with Lavrov's assistant on Monday, and I'll suggest that. Thank you for a lovely evening. And then Epstein responds again, Churkin was great. He understood Trump after our conversations. It is not complex. Trump must be seen to get something. It's that simple. Weird. Okay, is that the same Sergey Lavrov guy? And this is back in 2018. It all is just unseemly, to say the very least. Then there's emails between Epstein and a private equity guy named Tom Barrack. Epstein saying to Barrack, send me photos of you and child. Make me smile. And all of that communication came up after Epstein told Barrack that he was receiving lots of phone calls about his relationship with Trump. It's just so creepy and weird. Then there's some emails between Epstein and this guy named Landon Thomas with the subject line, Trump. It ends with Epstein telling Landon that here was my, sending him a link apparently to a photo of some beautiful woman. This is my 20-year-old girlfriend in 93 that after 2 years I gave to Donald, meaning he gave him this woman. It's pretty incredible. And all of this came up because there were additional communications in this same email train about Trump and the Hawaiian Tropic girl, and photos of Trump and girls in bikinis in Epstein's kitchen. I mean, wow. It is just, release the files. I mean, release the files, right? I don't know what else to say. And this guy, Barrack, is the current ambassador to Turkey. Release the files. My goodness. Anyway, so what then transpired was probably one of the most awkward press gaggles for Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt in a very, very, very long time. Here's Caroline Leavitt talking about that the emails prove nothing other than the fact that your boss is a creep and hung out with a sex trafficker. Ew, maybe something else. Again, never charged with any crime, not facing any criminal allegations, but boy, gross. Take a listen.
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because
just
Jeffrey
the Palm
Epstein
Beach connection. Wrap this. Did nothing wrong? Define wrong, Caroline. By the way, she trots out yet again that Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago. We're looking at emails today that say from Epstein's mouth that that is a lie, that he never was a member. Of course, all of this is nothing more than a big hoax by Democrats, as if we were plotting with Epstein back in, I don't know, 2018 and 50. Like, Democrats had nothing to do with these communications between Epstein and now Donald Trump's ambassador to Turkey, or Epstein and these guys with connections to Putin. Democrats didn't have any. What? Take a listen to this nonsense, also from Levitt earlier today.
This administration has done more with respect to transparency when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein than any administration ever. In fact, this administration, the Department of Justice, has turned over tens of thousands of documents to the American people. We are cooperating and showing support for the House Oversight Committee. That's part of the reason you are seeing these documents that were released today, because of the House Oversight Committee's and Republicans' efforts to get these out to the public.
Which they were forced to do because Democrats made them. And again, these weren't emails obtained by the House Oversight Committee from the FBI or the DOJ. They were subpoenas to Epstein's estate, which turned over. Oh, Caroline Levitt, very hard for her to follow the bouncing ball, apparently. Also, Democrats never ran on Epstein, right? Like, the entire Epstein obsession, the Pizzagate, the global ring of sex trafficking, that was always the QAnon MAGA thing. It was never the Democratic thing. So, you know, funny how that works when you promise people that you're going to blow up the global pedophile trafficking ring in your campaign, and you run on that basically for a decade. Hey, when you get elected, people might expect you to turn over the files like you kept promising that you would do. I mean, we could use an entire all 2 hours of our show and literally just play sound of, like, pick one, FBI Director Kash Patel, Deputy Director Dan Bongino, talking on podcast after podcast after podcast about how there's no reason to not release the files, that they would immediately turn all of them over. Pam Bondi in interview after interview after interview saying there's absolutely no legal reason why none of these should be. So what's the change here, folks? Huh? Why a little different? Just seems very, very suspicious. Folks, we're going to take a breath. I'm going to come back to the story that continues to explode this afternoon. Republican Thomas Massey now calling out other MAGA representatives in Congress, encouraging them to think about a time when Trump is not in the White House anymore. We'll take a look at that. Get your thoughts if you've got a few. I bet you do. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A doozy of a news day here on the Civic Media Radio Network.